Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it has been in the house of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12 on Sunday evenings, we've been going through and just studying on the different divisions of the Bible. We need to have a full understanding of every book of the Bible, why it's there, just what God intended for us to receive from that book of the Bible. And so we went through the Old Testament. We've been in the New Testament now for a few weeks. And the third division of the New Testament is the Pauline epistles. That's the third division of the New Testament, beginning with the book of Romans. And there's 14 Pauline epistles. That means there's 14 letters that Paul wrote, that God spoke to Paul. The Spirit of God gave Paul exactly what he wanted him to write down. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write the words of God. And so 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible was written by Paul, and they're called the Pauline epistles. The book of Romans is actually the sixth letter that Paul wrote in chronological order, but it's the very first of the letters that God placed in the scriptures for us in the King James English-speaking Bible that we have before us here tonight. So it's the first one. And as we looked at the first part of it, it was just so much there, we wanted to break it down to two different services. So he's taught on the first part of the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 11 last week, because it presents the most important New Testament doctrine, and that's the doctrine of salvation. And it's very clearly presented in the book of Romans, especially in the first 11 chapters, especially in chapter 10. There's just no question about what God has designed as far as how mankind is going to be saved from their sins and given everlasting eternal life. It is very clear, and yet we find that this is the doctrine that is the hardest for most people to get their hands and their minds around. And Satan is trying to blind people to the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And religions prey upon people's failure to understand it, and so they want them to work for the religion or work for whatever it might be and start doing certain things, and fear of losing salvation when you're kicked out of the church or whatever it might be. But look to the Bible. And here in this New Testament, Pauline epistles, God positioned the book of Romans first with salvation because it is the most important New Testament doctrine, the doctrine of salvation. And then we look to the second half of the book of Romans, what we'll be looking at tonight. That's chapters 12 through 16, and it's basically exhortations for New Testament service. What does God expect out of believers in this New Testament church age? Jesus Christ came, give us a perfect example of how we ought to live. Okay? And then Paul is given this second half of the book of Romans. He's written it down. God's preserved it for us. An exhortation for New Testament service. So stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Because it begins with a true believer's spiritual service. Before you can do anything for God physically, you have to spiritually prepare yourself to be a vessel that God will work through. Now, Paul, if you remembered in chapter 1, he presented himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Every born-again believer needs to see themselves as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to have an influence for Christianity in the days that we live. So here in Romans in chapter 12, starting verse 1, we'll read down to verse 8. I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to believers, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be a transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already received tonight and the joy of just assembling ourselves together, singing praises unto thee. Now as we open up your holy word, I just pray, God, that you'd anoint the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So as a saved individual, again in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul presents himself as a saved individual. He said, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That was his calling upon life. That was a platform that he would serve from as an apostle. Separated unto the gospel of God. We're servants, and we all of us ought to be see ourselves as serving God and separate unto the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A true believer, Paul presents here in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, a true believer's spiritual service. Whoever we are, and whatever platform in life that God would have us to serve from, whatever your background, okay, we're American citizens, praise the Lord. Most of us here born in America, we have been given a blessing of representing Jesus Christ here in America. That is a tremendous blessing. But with it is a greater responsibility, because when God gives us more than there's more expected, you raised in a Christian home, can I tell you, there's more expectations from God because of the blessing of what he has allowed you to have as Christian parents. We look around the world, and so many do not have the privileges and the opportunities we have to accomplish the things for the cause of Christ. But whoever we are, and whatever platform in life that God would have us to serve from, every one of us will have somewhat of a different platform. I've got the platform, God called me to be a pastor. We have deacons in the church, God called them to be deacons. We have trustees, we have whatever, Sunday school teachers, and you're using your spiritual gifts to accomplish that. God's given you a platform. You're born in America, listen to me, that's a platform. You're a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, that's a platform. For you, for each one of us to serve God from. Whatever that platform would, whatever platform in life that God would have us to serve from, verses 3 through 8, it reveals that God equips us for that. Spiritual gifts are given. And if you have been given more than one spiritual gift, listen to me, there's expectations of that. But whatever it might be, and that's something else, we're not going to go into the spiritual gifts tonight, but they're there. But whatever spiritual gift that God has given to you, it's for you to serve him with. It's to enable you to serve God on whatever platform that you have. Many that are here have, all that are here have jobs, and you have a platform at your place of employment. You will come into contact with people that I will never come in contact with. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent Lighthouse Baptist Church if you're a member. Right. To all of those people that you come in contact with, that's a platform. And God wants to use you. You are to be a servant of Jesus Christ on whatever platform that God gives you for life. So we know verses 3 through 8, we're not going to go into that tonight, but that's equipping us. Spiritual gifts are given to equip us. What I do want to spend just a little bit more time on is verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 is the key. We, out of our own free will, must do these two very important things if we are to be all that God would have us to be as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking to believers. First, he says, I beseech you, therefore, he says, I'm begging you, this is something that's very important. Brethren, saved individuals, those that know the truth, you have the truth, you understand the gospel, you know what you have is what the world needs. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, all of that, which is your reasonable. It's not too much to ask. You can't look at this and say, I can't believe you expect me to do that. That's your kids. Amen. I'm providing for you. I'm putting clothes on your back. I'm feeding you 3 meals a day. I'm doing this. All I'm asking is keep your room clean. You can't expect me to do that. Yeah, that's a lot of Christians are doing the very same thing. Amen. And it's just as silly. It's just as foolish as that child that's got everything and there's just a reasonable service and they rebel against a reasonable service. So the first key of our own free will, we must present our bodies for service to God, to be used of God. Our bodies are what houses our eternal spirit. And once you get saved, it also houses the very Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have to view our bodies no longer as our bodies, but as a house, a temple that God wants to work through. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, I'm just telling you exactly what the Bible teaches. Reasonable service, because this is what happens when you get saved. Chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, God calls this body a house. Our physical body, he calls a house. We're dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. As long as this body is breathing air, it is the house. It will house your spirit. Once the body dies, then if we look down, the Bible says, that verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, our house, and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Ewing Shields, I was up there praying with him before he passed, and the idea there is, when that body stopped functioning, his house remained here, his eternal spirit went on to be with the Lord. That will happen to every one of us at some point. It's appointed that a man wants to die. It will happen to every one of us. And so this is the house that God has given us. It's our bodies, a physical body. And we are to serve the Lord. And God has given us these spiritual gifts, and he's given us a platform by which he wants to work in us and through us. But we have to be willing to present ourselves. Can I tell you, when you made the decision to come to church tonight, you are presenting yourself for the assembling of ourselves together to join in with worship and praise and singing to the Lord. And to expose yourself to the preaching of God's word so that you might receive instructions and receive the direction of the Holy Spirit in helping you, preparing you to leave this place and be better prepared because you're walking closer to God. You're more mindful of why we're here. To present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We are to be an influence of God to the world. Now, if you was here Wednesday night, we just preached on Israel going into Canaan. They finally got the wars ended. Now the whole land of Canaan was under the law of God. The whole land of Canaan. And now the land of Canaan, because it's under the laws of God, the whole world is seeing the difference between a people who have yielded themselves to a living God. And Israel was to represent God to the world. Now the land of Canaan has been given to them and it's under the laws of God. And the whole world's focus is on Israel. Can I tell you that has continued even today? Because one day Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Israel, from Jerusalem, from the Temple Mount. for a 1,000-year reign. So understanding that, that's all part of God's plan. But in this, the age that we're living in right now, God wants to use you to represent Him. And the first way that we represent Him is through our bodies. Our testimony of appearance, a testimony of association, a testimony of conduct is our reasonable service. And He's given you the equipment to do it on whatever platform that He has placed you on. Titus in chapter 2. Titus in chapter 2, he writes in verse 12 down to verse 14. Jesus, in teaching His disciples, again revealed to them that they're going to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's an influence. Salt influences. Light influences. That's what He wanted them to do. It's a reasonable service. Represent Me. You'll represent Him with your bodies, first of all, because that's what people first see. You say, well, God looks on the heart. It doesn't matter what I have on. Well, yes, it does, because God has placed you here to be a witness to others who can't see what's inside of you, that only see what's on the outside to start with. Your first testimony is your appearance. Your first testimony is your association. Your first testimony is your conduct. It's what people see. And no matter where you're at, that's what they see. And you have a platform that they need to see Christ wherever you're at, from the platform that you serve. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says this, teaching us that denying for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's what it says in verse 11. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live. It's going to be a choice, but this is what you should do. You should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That should be our testimony. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. That means get out of sin, because He's redeemed you from that. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar people are not necessarily weird. You hear me say this. We should not be weird. When the world looks at us, they should not be able to say, weirdo. They should say, wow, something different about your conduct. Something different about your conversation. You walk away when somebody starts to tell a dirty joke. You walk away when people start using ungodly language. You do not associate with that. You don't go with all the other guys out to the bars after work. There's something different about you. And sometimes it is our testimony by presenting our bodies is what gives us an opportunity to help somebody who comes to us and say, hey, what's different? Amen. And we ought to be ready to give them exactly what God would have us to give them when we're asked. That's presenting our bodies. The second thing is in verse 12. We are to present for service to God our minds. Isn't that what it says? That's exactly what it says. Verse chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. How am I going to conform to this world? By having the world's thinking. Whatever that might be, in whatever area, whatever platform you're serving, there's going to be a worldly thinking there. And I've got to turn away from the thoughts of the world. I cannot allow the world to control what I keep on my mind. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because what we have in our minds will affect our understanding of God's will. Right thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Our way of thinking must align with His. The only way that's going to happen is you know what His mind thinks. That's where the Bible comes in. That's why we read the Bible. Because as we read the Bible, we understand more of the mind of God. And as we understand more of the mind of God, then I can accept that as my thinking. Tell people all the time, you have to know what's right to think, and then you have to tell yourself to think that way. That'll help you in any situation you get in. Because if you allow it up to go after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you allow it to go after the philosophies of the world, you will not have right thinking. And if you don't have right thinking, Satan's going to devour you to keep you from ever being the witness that God wants to work through. But if you have the right thinking, if you have the mind of God, then you can overpower whatever Satan wants to try to suggest to your mind. You can overpower the thoughts and the philosophies of the world. And you can overpower even the thoughts of your own flesh. Yeah. You can know what's right to think when you know the Bible and tell yourself, I'm going to think that way about life. I'm going to think that way about alcohol. I'm going to think that way about coming to church. I'm going to think that way about how I treat other people. I'm going to think that way. Amen. And that's how you renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the mind of Christ control your thinking. Yeah. That is the key to serving God. Presenting yourself, body. Having right thinking mind. If you do that, then you can do what he says to do in chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, is social service. How would God have you to serve him in society? Verses 9 down to verse 21 explain that. Let's go through a couple here. It says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Have the mind of God. Love people. Love the souls of humanity. And have a desire, when you love them, you'll have a desire to see them saved. Let love be without hypocrisy or dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. If it's evil, abhor it. Don't say you're going to abhor it and then join in with it. Don't say that you abhor it and then associate with it. Amen. That's how we are to have social service, how I'm to represent Jesus Christ in the world that I live in the community that I'm able to be a witness to. Whatever that platform might be, whatever their job might be, wherever it takes you. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Don't be selfish. Think of others. Not slothful in business. Don't be lazy. Don't be a bum. Look to work. Don't rely on the government to give you food stamps. Now, if you need food stamps, I'm not saying that's, praise the Lord, that we've established a government that was designed to help people in need. But don't take advantage of it. If you can work, work. Don't be slothful. Don't look to other people to take care of you. Look to God to ask for strength to take care of other people. Amen. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. You know what that hope, biblical hope is future fact. Rejoice in the fact that Christ is going to return. Rejoice in the fact that no matter what happens in this world, I have eternity to look forward to. Rejoice in that hope. Patient in tribulation. You might not understand it right now, but there's a reason God has allowed what he's allowed. Be patient. Patient. In tribulations. Continuing instant in prayer. No better time going through this prayer and fasting awareness month to understand that. Just be in prayer. Distributing to the necessities of saints. Giving to hospitality. Instead of holding out your hands for everybody else to try to put something in it, look to God and say, God, give to me so I can give to others. And God knows your heart. He knows. Can I tell you that riches in this world can be a curse or a blessing? The curse is you give yourself for riches. And you sell out everything of God for the whatever this world has to offer. That's the curse. The blessing is to realize, God, look how you've blessed me. I want to be a vessel that you work through to bless others. Give to me so that I might be able to give. More blessed to give than to receive. And everyone can give something. And when you show God your heart, he'll give you more to be able to give to others. Amen. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be wise in your own. All these different, these are social services. Verse 14, he says this, bless them which persecute you and bless and curse you. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you will not understand that. If you take 14, look down to verse 17. It's saying the same thing, basically. A recompense to no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then finally, verse 21 puts it all together when he says this. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not return evil for evil. That person who is trying to give you evil, giving you a hard way, be good. I mean, return it good for them. Pray for them. Satan's got control of them, and he's working through them. And if they get saved, you never know how your worst enemy in your mind right now could become your best friend if they would only get saved. Amen. And it might be when you start returning good for evil, you have a platform that you might be the one to lead them to Christ. Yeah. Civil services. This is the book of Romans. Civil services. How we are to respect, amen, government. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God ordained government for law and order. We studied that Wednesday night. The idea there, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Respect authority. Respect government. That's our civic service. Do it with your body. Do it with your mind. Chapters 14 to 16, an overall understanding of God's expectations of service. Paul deals with several things here. Let me just briefly go through a couple here. We're done. Chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. If you focus on that, not being a stumbling block, listen to me, you won't have time to judge anybody else. That will consume your thoughts. That will consume your efforts. If you just say, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I do not want to be a stumbling block. I do not want to hinder anybody else. Lord, help me to be an encourager. Help me to be a blessing on whatever platform to whoever you brought into my life. That's service. That's your reasonable service. Chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Wow. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. Now, what was Paul? A servant. He had a platform as an apostle. Phoebe had a platform as a helper to an apostle. And Paul says, I commend her to you. He goes on down and he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet Mary. Salute Andronicus. Salute Urbane. Salute Apelles. Salute Heronian. But he a list of faithful servants who have helped further the cause of Christ. That's how Paul ends this first letter. Greet and salute all that are serving our Lord. Be thankful for all who are serving the cause of Christ. Greet and salute, especially those in your own church who choose to be a part of a doctrinally sound, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, New Testament church. Stop making enemies out of God's servants. That's not helping the cause of Christ. As a pastor, I have opportunities, especially when I was a moderator of the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship, to travel and to see a lot of different works. I've been overseas. I've been Russia. I've been the Philippines and Bolivia, all around. This is a privilege that I've had as being a pastor over the last 33 years. I've seen churches all around the United States of America. I've had opportunities to preach in a lot of churches all around the United States. And every time I walk into a church like this church, where they have the right Bible, and the people understand that they're servants of Jesus Christ, I thank God for them. Amen. They're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ on a different platform, but serving Him in Russia, serving Him in Bolivia, serving Him in the Philippines. We ought to be thankful for every one of them. We ought to salute every one of them for their service to the cause of Christ. Why can't we do that in our own church? The city of Indianapolis needs the light from this Lighthouse Baptist Church. The city of Indianapolis needs the salt that the membership of this church in your service to God is expected. We need to salute one another, encourage one, especially when we come together to worship God, to get our marching orders. Well, I tell you, we need encouragement. Stop making enemies out of God's servants and salute them. Pray for them. Treat them the way that Christ would have you to treat them. Two parts of this first of Paul's letters. Salvation. There's only one plan. Once you're saved, your plan of service, present your body and your mind and serve God. I could have every head bowed. If you're saved, I trust that you are, have committed your life to service. That's the blessing that God wants to bestow upon you. There's blessings in serving God. There are. There's power with God in serving God. It's your reasonable service. Have we committed to it? Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for this message in this first of the Pauline epistles. God, how we sometimes just get sidetracked and how the devil would love to blind us to the simplicity of salvation and service. And I pray tonight here we'll be committed to service representing you. And we will see the difference that'll make. Bless now on this invitation. It's in Jesus' name we pray.